Thank you, Jen. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Bill, you and I don't like to get too political here. We've tried not to. In fact, I feel sometimes if Donald Trump wasn't president, we wouldn't talk politics at all.
It's very possible.
We did have Daniel Biss on, who is running for governor. He reached out to us, wanted to be on our show. And there's someone who's running for the 3rd Congressional District Democratic office. Marie Newman is in the studio with us. And Marie, it's so nice to meet you.
Good morning, and thank you.
You reached out to us as well, and in fact, you said, I know you guys don't do a lot of politics, but I'd love to come on the show and talk. Yeah. This is my district. I know that Dan Lipinski has been my congressman. Do we have to say congressperson now? I think we do.
I'll go either way.
Okay.
I'll let you do it.
And I know his father was in that seat, and from what I remember, is he just kind of went uncontested and got that seat. Is that how that happened?
Well, it's a true Chicago story that's fun, right? So 22 years of Bill Lipinski as our congressperson in this district. And then in 2004, Bill Lipinski got through the primary, and about 10, 12 weeks out from the general, he said, I think I'm going to retire. And then he tapped his head in his face and said, hoo-hoo. Mm-hmm. Who could we have to be on the as a nominee for that? It's so late. And then he spoke to Mr. Madigan and said, gosh, who could we do that? And I know that you'll help me with that process. And then Dan was appointed to be the nominee. And then even more fun, on the ballot that year, they had D. Lipinski instead of the full name, Dan Lipinski.
So some people might have even thought
they were voting for Bill.
That is smooth.
So you're claiming there might be some nepotism.
You know, I think I'll let everybody draw their own conclusions from that. I would hate to dictate, but, you know.
All right.
And how long has Dan Lipinski been my congressman?
Since 2004.
All right. It's been quite a long while. And you have decided to go up against him. How do you guys differ on your issues? Because I know you support a lot of things that he might not be into.
Right. So he'll oftentimes call himself a centrist, and he's anything but that. So most centrists, even statistically in this country, support health care for all. He does not. Other topics that are very important to centrists and most of the Democratic Party and or centrists are things like LGBTQ rights, as well as women's rights, a woman's right to choose. And then the fight for 15 is very important to centrists. Centrists like all of those things. Mr. Lipinski is against health care for all, is against the fight for 15. He has an absolute mission against women. And then the last thing, he's against LGBTQ rights. He's actually written and helped support and sponsored rights and acts that would be against LGBTQ folks.
Go back one for just a second against women. What leads you to say that? What's he doing?
So 52 times he's voted to either take a woman's right to choose away and or Planned Parenthood funding.
Yeah.
52 times in 13 years. So he's been very busy.
Yeah.
I think Planned Parenthood does a fine job.
I will go out
and say that. And it's not just about terminating pregnancies. It's about women's health care and health issues. And they do a wonderful job. Not everyone can afford insurance. And Planned Parenthood is a fine establishment.
It really is. And it actually services tens of thousands of people in our district, men, women, and children. And it's everything from general health care to cervical exams to breast exams and more. And birth control, affordable birth control. One of the, you know, going back to the centrist versus radical, Mr. Lipinski is a straight-up right radical. He does not believe in birth control. So if you don't believe in birth control, of course you're not going to like Planned Parenthood because they give it out. Over 90% of the nation believes in birth control. So he, when he says he's a centrist, it's basically laughable. So back to your original question, I'm for health care for all. He's against it. I am for the fight for 15 and working families values and workers.
And that fight for 15 is
$15 an hour. He believes that you can get buy-in. And his words, not mine, in the Sudden Times interview on January 24th is $12 is enough. So, of course, then I turned to him and I said, okay, let's do that budget.
Yeah.
So how are you going to have a roof over your head, feed you and your kids maybe, or an elderly parent, whoever you're taking care of, because everybody's taking care of somebody, and then eat regularly, and then have health care? Guess what falls off that map every day? And then, interestingly, Mr. Lipinski doesn't believe in health care for all, so how are you going to do all that on $12 an hour? It is not enough. So
who is
15.
He leaving out, Marie? If you say he's not believing in health care for all, who is he leaving off the list?
He's leaving off probably somewhere between 50% and 60% of the nation, because Obamacare helped add another 20 million people onto policies. And while not perfect, we do need to keep it around and keep it safe until we have Medicare for All, which I believe if we get the Congress turned over, we will.
But are these the people who will be left off? Are they full-time workers? Are they retirees?
Honestly, it would be a combination, because if Obamacare did not exist, we'd probably not just have those 20 million people off. It'd probably be another, because it was 40 million when Obamacare came into state. So those 40 million would be off. And because the cost containment has never really occurred in a private market situation, it would continue to escalate. And most people would say it would be 50 or 60 million would be fall off. So on 310 million people in the country, that's very significant. And that affects not just health outcomes, but prosperity in the nation, ability to work, and the overall economy is very affected. It's 1/6 of our economy.
How do you answer this? People who are on the other side of the Fight for 15 argument will tell you that that wage isn't designed to be a living wage, that that's designed to be kind of a temporary wage until you can find a more substantial job. What do you say to that?
Well, that would be great if that was reality. Yeah. That would be very interesting.
Yeah, if that was your summer job, salary, that would be awesome.
Yeah, but a lot of people are living on that because those are the jobs that are available.
Yeah.
And this is a combination of things, right? Is that in our economy, the great thing is that there are all different types of jobs, and some people choose those jobs as restaurant workers, whatever it might be. Healthcare workers are frequently paid at that level. So the reality is we would be in a very bad situation if we continue to let this happen, where we don't bring wages, the minimum wage. People raise families on that. We have to be very realistic about that.
Right. But then the trickle-up theory on that is that if McDonald's is going to pay their workers more money, they're not going to lose the money. They're going to pass that deficit on to us. We'll pay more for our food. But that seems almost reasonable, doesn't it?
It is reasonable, but what I would push back on is that, remember, if we have those folks making $15 an hour, that money goes back into the economy and produces taxpayers and a bunch of different things. So the economy becomes stronger in any way. And plus, too, if we go complement the $15 an hour with health care for all, then folks at employers are not paying for health care now. So it may be a washout at the end of the day. So $15 an hour helps the economy overall. We have more disposable income in the economy.
Okay.
Marie Newman is in the studio with us. She is campaigning, and she is running for Congress in the 3rd District, Democratic candidate. Why in the world do you want this job? I mean, really?
Someone asks me that about every day.
Yeah.
And the reality is what I got to is, so I'm a former small business person. I've run a national nonprofit program. I've been a national rights advocate and Moms Demand Action volunteer and spokesperson, and have worked on a lot of legislative policy. So in my career, I've done a lot of different things, led a lot of different lives. I feel like it's the next natural step is to represent lots of different types of people. And I think it'd be effective. So that's why I think I'm qualified to do it. The reason I'm doing it is because not only have I been asked to do it many times by folks in my district, but if someone doesn't step up, then no one does, right? Nobody.
Yeah.
And I learned the day after Trump was elected that nobody's coming to save us. We all have to save us. So
yeah.
I frequently say with the district, and they say about me, is that we're running this race together as a team. And that's the problem in the district, is Mr. Lipinski runs against us at all costs.
Why hasn't anybody gone up against him, really, and given a good fight since 2004?
Yeah, you know, there was one in 2008. Mark Perra ran, and he was an excellent candidate.
Oh, I do remember
that. And they did, and speaking of fun machine politics, because, you know, Mr. Lipinski is fully supportive of the Chicago machine, they dropped in two fake candidates, which was fun. You know, who doesn't love that? And diluted the vote, and Mark didn't win. So there, since then, what happens is that people saw what happened and thought, oh, I can never beat the machine, right? I can never beat the machine. Well, a little different year.
Strategery.
Yeah.
Yep. It's very different now.
Yeah, a little different year and a little different person, because whenever I talk about the machine, I say, bring it, baby. Bring it.
That's Marie Newman. She's bringing it. She's going to be, she's hoping to be the 3rd Congressional District's Democratic candidate. So stick around. We'll talk more to her. If you want to jump in, you can. It's easy. 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm running a fever, and it can only be cured with more cowbell.
Yes, of course. course.
Marie Newman is in the studio with us. She is running for Congress in the 3rd District as a Democrat. She has a Facebook page, Marie Newman for Congress. She's on Twitter, Marie the number 4 Congress. You've been very busy, and you have a lot of people that are walking around the neighborhood getting the word out about Marie Newman. So congratulations on
that.
Thank you. We have a caller who would like to speak to you.
Sure.
Paul is on the line. Paul, you have a question or comment for Marie?
Hi, Marie and show. Question for you, Marie, was I'm listening to your message that you're sending out. I just got your postcard in the mail. I live in the 3rd District. I'm going to vote for you. Here's the reality. I'd like to see your message be more geared towards Lukinsky's right-wing agenda within his Democratic coat.
Yeah.
Because if people really peel back the onion in this guy really should be in the Republican Party.
That's exactly right. So did you want me to respond to the Please. Postcard or?
Yes.
Did you have a specific question, Paul?
That was the question, is that I think that message needs to get out because they still have a hard time sharing that message just on the LGBTQ and women's issues. I mean, I'm a man, right? So I totally get it. I'm very tuned into politics. I understand it.
But you want to be taken care of, too. Why is it just women's issues?
Yes.
So interestingly, I think that one, for whatever reason, that specific topic resonates a lot with people and gets a lot of reverberation. We actually have done a little analysis on my messaging in all of our places, and it's literally, it usually runs between 15% and 20% of the whole message. Now, what I will say is that it's on everybody's mind, but you raise a good point, and we try to do this every day. Is it Paul? I hope I'm saying your name correctly.
Yeah, that's Paul.
Yes. Paul, we try to do this every day. We try to talk about, because the real issue in our district is Mr. Lipinski has not done anything for working families, to expand the middle class, for infrastructure. This misnomer that he's spent or brought $373 million into the district is an absolute straight up fat lie. And we have a 85 page document that says that.
Right. This $700,000 that he got from the metro station in LaGrange, that was federal money he brought back, but there was a lot of it from legacy from his father's involvement in his life previous to that. So he's still going in that same story.
Yeah, and it's a pet project. It's not a project that project didn't need to be done, first of all. And second of all, he has like 20 of those where he does it for his cronies, and it's just machine politics all over again.
Okay, and Paul, we thank you very much for your call, and thank you for your vote. If you are, in fact, I think he said he is voting for you, Marie.
Thank you, Paul.
And just so you know, there are people that are fans of Congressman Dan Lipinski who are texting in and says, why can't he defend himself? And he's welcome if he wants to reach out to us and come on.
He should.
What would he say about you if he was on this show?
So I think he has a new fun phrase called, is it a Tea Party of the Left? I think that's what he calls it, which is interesting because nobody knows about this Tea Party of the Left, nor do I. I'm a true blue Democrat that believes in working families, expanding the middle class, healthcare for all. And he doesn't believe in any of those things. So let's be clear. I am a true blue Democrat and he is just a straight up Republican. So I think he would say that somehow I'm part of this imaginary fantasy that he has, but no one's found a website for it.
All right.
Are you or is anybody taking Art Jones seriously?
He's the
Republican candidate, a Holocaust denier, a former member of the American Nazi Party, a leader for the American Nazi Party.
From Lyons, Illinois.
From Lyons, Illinois.
And I actually think he's a current member of the Nazi Party.
Oh, is he a current?
I actually think he's current. So you should never ignore anybody, just period. The good news in this country is that he has the ability to say those hateful things and think those hateful thoughts. The bad news is that for the Republican Party, they didn't have the wherewithal to stop him from getting on the ballot based on hate speech. So the Republican Party is in the situation that they are. That's unfortunate. And they haven't done, I think, enough to denounce him. But that's my personal opinion. Now, if I'm lucky enough to get past the primary, which would be fantastic, and win, I would be up against Art Jones. You never take anything for granted. Absolutely. You don't know what happens.
Boy, you sure don't.
Yeah. We have Trump as president right now.
That's what I'm saying. You sure don't know what's going to happen.
I don't. I mean, I'm hopeful that he would never get in, but let's be honest.
But it would be easy to put up a campaign against a guy who's an avowed Nazi,
yes.
isn't it?
Yes, I think it's easy to do it.
All you have to mention is... Nazi, yeah, I think.
Right. You'd think that that's all you have to mention, but in this day and age, sometimes, Bill, you
now,
don't
know. Now,
here's
the other thing, too. If this guy doesn't have a very strong campaign, that actually helps him. You know why? Because he's just the Republican on the ballot.
Right.
And
so
if he stays
really quiet, all of these good people that are Republicans think, oh, well, he's the Republican candidate. That's who I should vote for. So that's the scary part, which is why we have to be clear about that he is a Nazi, not a Republican. Because
yeah.
I have lots of nice Republican friends that would never vote for him.
Right,
unless they explicitly know he's a Nazi.
Yeah.
So that's the danger.
He has, he's a retired insurance agent. He lives in Lyons, as we mentioned, has unsuccessfully run for elected offices in the Chicago area and Milwaukee since the 1970s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's been trying to get on the ballot for 34
and
years.
And no one's running against him.
No. The Republican primary. Party did not put anybody up.
Why don't they put someone up?
Well, I think it's a little different year for them.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah, I mean, but by virtue of the fact that it's just Lipinski and I in the primary, and it's a so look at the numbers. Hillary took the district by 15 points in the general. Bernie took it by 8 in the primary. So it's super blue, like bright blue.
Yeah.
It is a pleasure to meet you. You're a lovely woman. You're a smart woman. I still don't know why in the world you want to do this, but thank you for trying to help people.
Be honest. There's days where you've asked yourself that question, right?
Only one day.
Only what would happen that day?
A couple of things. I was really disappointed in some of the machine antics that occurred to us, and they've been happening throughout the entire process, but there was one day where an elected official part of the machine came and bullied me very severely.
Oh, no.
And that was the day where I really thought twice, do I want to do this for this entire time? And then, of course, I got in my car and, you know, I'm half Irish. My Irish got up and said,
and it sparked you more.
But once you get the job, it's all smooth sailing. You know that.
Oh,
it's very easy once you get
it. Again, why do you want it?
Right. Marie, great to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
That's Marie Newman, everybody. We're going to take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.